Thoughts on the Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. God a shield. We've looked at this verse in the previous discourse. That is to say, I looked at every word of God is flawless. And it immediately goes on, he is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Now this seems to be quite a lurch in the text. Every word of God is flawless, and you move from the word of God to he is a shield, God himself, to those who take refuge in him. And then you come back in verse 6, do not add to his words, or he will rebuke you and prove you a liar, back to the word of God. But I think the point here is this, that the Bible is not interested in just giving us abstract truth, a sort of theological treatise, certain statements, certain propositions, point one, point two, point three, and so on. It's all for practical use. Every word of God is flawless, very good. What are you going to do with that? Leave the Bible on the shelf? Leave it shut, closed on the table? Or are you going to open the Bible, read the Bible, and use the Bible, and make the Bible come to life, as it were, by the Spirit enabling you to live according to that Bible? Every word of God is flawless. Ah, but the man who believes that flawless word, the man who receives that flawless word, or the woman who believes or received, those who believe that word, it moves them to respond to God. He is a shield, God is a shield, to those who take refuge in him. Here's the sinner. He opens the Bible, and what does he find? He finds a righteous, holy, just, perfect God, a God of all majesty, a God who commanded Adam, who has laid out his word before us. Don't do this, said God to Adam. If you do, you will surely die. What does God do? Man sins. And God brings the judgment down. Not immediately in the sense that the man actually physically dies or the whole creation is eliminated, but there is a day of judgment coming. The man died, of course, spiritually, and he died physically, and of course there is eternal death. Now, you believe that. Then you believe the promises of the new covenant. Christ is set forth by God the Father. God set his own Son, Romans chapter 3, set forth his own Son as a propitiation to appease his own wrath, that he might show mercy, he might be just and the justifier of him who believes in Jesus. Now, these are only brief texts, but we read this in the Scriptures, we believe the Scriptures. Is that all? No. We run to Jesus. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him, fleeing to Jesus. Of course, this is a reference to Numbers 35. The cities of refuge. In the Old Covenant, God established six cities of refuge so that Jews who'd sinned in a certain way, committed manslaughter, could escape immediate judgment until their case was heard. And Hebrews 6, 18 and 19 takes this up. Jesus is our refuge. We flee to Jesus. We flee to him as the propitiation of the wrath of God. We trust his blood in righteousness. We are justified. We are forgiven. We are set on the road of sanctification. We're being transformed into his likeness. We take refuge in him, and he is a shield and a defense and a protection. Believing the word of God is one thing, but trusting in the Savior is the ultimate here. You see, this is a dangerous life, my friend, and it's even more dangerous to come. There's bigger danger on the road, the day of God's judgment. Flee to Jesus now. Eternity beckons, my friend. Be ready. Believe the warning, believe the promises, and trust the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is referred to in those promises. John Kent put it like this. I'm going to change his second verse because he's rather hyper-Calvinistic in that verse, but this is what he said. A refuge for sinners the gospel makes known, 'tis found in the merits of Jesus alone. The weary, the tempted, and burdened by sin were never exempted from entering therein. this refuge for sinners his love did ordain, in Jesus the Lamb from eternity slain. And when God the Spirit revealed this to you, you fled then to Jesus, though hell should pursue. The soul that shall enter in safety shall dwell. There's no peradventure of sinking to hell. The oath of Jehovah secures him from fear, nor shall the avenger of blood enter there. Here's refuge for sinners, whose guilt shall appear as black as the confines of endless despair, who, stripped of all merit whereon to rely, are taught by the Spirit to Jesus to fly. Should conscience arouse us, as oft times it may, there's blood that shall take its defilement away. In Jesus the Saviour, the sinner shall view a city of refuge and righteousness too. I would add another verse to the effect. Yes, this is all true, John Kent. Yes, it's all true. Now, my hearer, flee to Jesus. Now trust him. Now look to him. I'm not just telling you the abstract truth. If you will receive the Saviour, he'll be a refuge for you. And you need that refuge.